reminder to the public that the meetings are being recorded. Let's see, consent agenda. We have a motion to approve that.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, regular agenda item one. Everybody saw my rationale for not including the agenda item on the conference sound system. Is there a motion to place that on the next month's agenda?
So could I add something? So there's something in your piles of stuff there. I think it's a separate email from Bob Ogren, who could not be here tonight, but he had a comment on that. I think it's laying on the table.
Or the public comment, yeah.
Okay. Consistent with our policy, is there a motion to have my decision overturned and placed on the agenda for next month?
I would move that.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it's moved to next month's agenda. Is there any public comment? Please.
Larry Thomas. I'd just like to say I've been coming to a few of these meetings, and it is hard to hear him here. I figured out last month, I don't have a clue one word she said. That's a soft voice. You guys, I can hear pretty good unless you get to looking down at your notes and talking. And to me, it's mumbling. Maybe it's my hearing, but I don't have a problem with anybody else. I think you either need to speak up or have some kind of a system or something. So the few of us that do come, and maybe it would be more incentive for people to come. I've had two or three people tell me that they wouldn't come because they couldn't. You don't know what's going on anyway. I have to kind of agree with them to a point. Yeah. But you guys on the board, I can get most of what you say. Like I say, if you kind of look up and speak up a little, that's just my comments on it.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you not wanting to spend my tax dollars on a big fancy PA system and all that. Maybe it's just everybody kind of change your, bring your voice up just a little. Would do it for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any more public comment? Okay. Part-time maintenance staff. That sounds like your world, Mr. Visky.
Yeah, so pretty simply, what I'm proposing to the board for next year's budget is to add a part-time 20-hour-a-week employee to assist Chris Eaton, who's our maintenance captain, with maintenance. That is definitely an area that we don't get enough work done. There's just between all of the buildings and every piece of equipment owned by the fire department and every fire truck, apparatus, command vehicle, it's overwhelming, and it's impossible for Chris to keep up with it. This is, in my opinion, the most cost-effective way to address it with a part-time employee. We can draw from our volunteer ranks to fill that position. That position would not qualify for benefits such as health insurance or others. It would be a straight hourly wage position. We do have to pay into Medicare and the state retirement system that's required by law, no matter if it was a 5 hour a week position or full time. That's just mandatory. So there's a breakdown of costs in your packet for what that would cost for an entire fiscal year, and it is, with everything included, $21,745.
Board discussion.
So, do we have someone that you want already, or do you?
We have at least two people who are very interested in the position. One of which almost already is that position. So yes, we have interested, qualified people within the department.
Nice.
Did I understand that this is a, you know, it's got everything in here, I guess. Unemployment, FERS, Medicare. So you're saying this is the not full-time position, this is a volunteer, which you pay the volunteer. I got confused when you said something about volunteer wouldn't be as much as a half-time position.
So the only reason I mentioned volunteers, I said that we'd be able to hire from within our volunteer ranks for that position, but it would not be a volunteer position. It's a paid position.
So the document that Nick is referring to is in our board packet. It's not numbered. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth page. Are we all talking about the same thing? Yes. Thank you, Jason. More board discussion.
This is just 20 hours a week? Would not go over that?
No. In fact, there'd probably be some weeks where it would be under that, but yes.
Nick?
I guess when you say that you got all the things to do, I've seen washing machines get fixed. Is there some things that you guys are doing, or the maintenance people are doing, that are better sourced out to somebody else? Now, I understand that another shop has an overhead and a cost, but there might be some things, I think, really fire things, important things, but are there things that make sense just to hire them out?
Yeah, and there are some things that we do. I mean, we, you know, oil changes for our apparatus and vehicles, we sub that out. A lot of it would be very, you know, my answer is no. I don't think there's a lot of stuff that we could sub out. I mean, we're not going to hire somebody to change the air filters and in our rooftop units out here. And I don't think it would be financially wise to every time one of our portable generators needs the carburetor cleaned out to take it into Owen House and pay their shop rate of $100 an hour to work on our little Honda generator. So my answer to you is that if I thought that was the better idea, I would definitely pursue that. But so many of these are just the little things around the stations. You know, our chainsaws. If every time we had a chainsaw problem, we took it to Matt's saw shop, we'd go broke having them fix it. And you know, and so that's all. It's just a lot of busy work. We've spent the last 2 weeks. You don't even want to know how many hours I've committed to our septic system, which I'll get to next. But it's just there's just stuff that has to get done, and most of it I don't think would be cost effective to sub out. And again, we have subbed out quite a bit of work, but yeah.
More board discussion.
I do have one question. In addition to maintenance efforts, would this person actually go out on calls, be available for calls, or would there be some restrictions on availability?
It would be as needed. Yeah. They would have the ability to, but they would not. It would not. That would not be the primary function of that position. It would be maintenance work.
So,
but if we had a big structure fire and we needed them to go, of course we will utilize.
So,
that.
In a situation where you had enough bodies to go out on a call and there's maintenance work that needed to be done, that person would not go.
Correct. We even do that with Chris. Mm-hmm. Chris does not go on all of our calls during the day. If he's in the middle of a job and we have enough people, we tell him to keep working on what he's working on. So he'll call and say, "Hey, do you want me to respond?" And a lot of times we say, "No, we got enough people. We got to cover."
I guess from my perspective, I could see where, you know, I think it's the cost of doing business in some regards, because it, you know, obviously we have a growing valley, growing constituency, growing needs in the district, and so, you know, it is, I think it is what it is. It's, like I said, the cost of doing business, and it's something that I think this board should seriously consider, and we can address the budget component of that in the next agenda item, but we have worked that into the budget, preliminary budget proposal.
More board discussion? Any public comment on this agenda item?
Sounds pretty cost efficient to me. $41,000 go park on the house for Matt.
Very true. What's the motion that we're looking for here? Just to include it in the budget?
Yeah, to approve it for starting July 1st for the budget cycle.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we provide direction to the staff to go out and fill this position at the stated salary.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
So would it be advertised outside to the two people?
Probably not. We'll do an internal recruitment. And if, again, if we don't have, for whatever reason, we didn't have who we wanted, then we could always advertise externally. But we will open it up to everybody within the department.
Including me?
Yes.
All right. I'm pretty handy with a wrench, as you guys know.
What, did win?
I don't hear what went to win.
All right. Walt, are you next?
I believe so, along with Jason.
Okay.
So the in your packet, and this is just discussion at this point, and I guess let me preface the discussion with asking Jason a question. Did we ever get a response back from County Finance, from Justine, as to when it is June?
No, I left. I never got a call back.
Right. So I think we're acting under standard presumption that it's due in June. So we're ahead of the curve here. And so this is truly just a discussion. But at least we can kind of get moving in the direction that we need to move in and get a preliminary budget put together for next month that the board can approve. So the major changes, I'll just not go into a lot of detail, and if there are some questions, you know, we'll open it up to those questions. But on the income side, the assumptions that we made are, and Rosie worked with me on this too. So these data are the data, the income side of things. If you look at the second column, the income side and the expense side are based off of last month's P&L. Those were the current data that I had when I put this together, and I'll try and update it to the current consent agenda information when we actually approve the preliminary budget next month. But the income, we're at the projected income is $984,262 for this fiscal year, and obviously that's a little bit below what we had budgeted for, about $1,100 change. And we'll probably fill that gap with some of the personal property taxes and stuff that come in. So essentially, we're going to be about the same. And we also noted that we had a couple of under miscellaneous revenues, we had a couple of revenue events that occurred there, such as the Impera refund and so on, that are kind of one-time funds. And so for budgeting purposes, we left that item at $4,000. The entitlement share has been kind of consistent, going back one item. Entitlement share has been consistent at about $36,000 per year from the state. Contributions and donations, we just left $500 in that. Investment earnings, that's been kind of consistent over the years at about $20,000.
What is investment earnings?
Those are the monies that we receive for the funds that we have on hand with the county. So they actually earn a little bit of revenue with the county.
So that would be these reserve units or these restricted income pots that we have gets interest, and that's the number that comes up in investment earnings?
And the cash on hand. If you look at the consent, the balance that's on the balance sheet. Let's see. Hang on real quick. You look at checking savings, about $1.9 million. Okay, so that's everything, yeah. Right? And then yeah. That gets broken down capital. That includes capital reserves and operating funds. That's the total. So during the year, obviously, that's fluctuating as our expenditures use some of the monies up, and then it gets replenished with taxes. But it's constantly earning a little bit of interest. And so the interest that you see there is the what we receive from our share in those county funds.
So the capital replacement and the building replacement funds are dollars we have, and we're getting interest on them.
Plus our operating money.
Plus operating money, okay.
Hey, on the elections, will we ever have that $7,000 expense?
You know, we have in the past. If we end up having...
Just more than one?
More than one, right. Yeah, we'll incur that expense. And so we've always budgeted for it. And I guess the other thing, the philosophy that we've maintained, I mean, we've got staff that does a really good job. At least that's been my experience, and Pete can probably vouch for it going even further back in terms of, you know, we tend to be a little bit more generous in some of our line items on operating expenditures. And my experience has been that we typically come in with those monies going into capital reserves at the end, you know.
Okay.
Some things we go over on a little bit, you know, like this year we've gone over a little bit on insurance, and but a lot of the other items, if you look at the overall expenditure year to date through the end of February when I prepared this, we were at 52% of total operating expenses for the year. We were 67% of the year, you know, in terms of time. So we're beating the budget.
Nice.
Going down to the expense items, there are essentially two items that we're looking at changing. And the first would be the second item down, personnel services. And so if you look at the sheet that was sent out that includes the total, it's personnel costs, and it includes the it makes the assumption that we're going to add the new employee, the part-time employee. And that would bring our total personnel expenditures up to $363,099 based on Rosie's projection. And so I just put it in. I put an estimate in of $365,000 just to give us a little bit of slush for some, you know, overtime. Cool. Or whatever that may occur. And so we would be adding about $15,000 to our budget. We were at $350,000, which was over. So those were monies, you know, that we actually didn't spend. And so we project that by adding $15,000, we should be able to cover the addition of the new employee and still leave about, you know, $1,200-$1,300 of extra in there.
Okay.
So the numbers in red are what we budgeted, the left column, we've spent to date. This column, so we still have, it's good, we have these negative numbers.
Correct. So, yes, that's correct. The interpretation on that third column is dollars over budget. And so on income, black is good. That means that we're over. On expenses, red is good, because that means we're
under.
It's
just not intuitive.
Right. Yeah. But see, Jason and I have had this discussion.
Yes. And somebody brought that up at one point.
Yes.
And you squashed down like that.
Well, I guess the counter to that I make is that I could change the heading, so it could be dollars under budget, and I could reverse the arithmetic operation, and you would have red for revenue and black, you know, so you'd still have an interpretation issue. So it's a game of semantics here. So it's simply a matter of looking at the title of the heading and interpreting that information.
Why can't you just use a different color up on income and a different color on expense? I mean, I sat and looked at this a long time and realized that that's kind of what was happening, is up here it's a good thing to be black, and down here it's a bad thing to be black. And mm-hmm.
Well, it's just it's simple subtract. It's pretty easy to interpret in my mind if you look at the heading.
It's not black and white.
So, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt. I can.
And then additional $5,000.
Yeah. So I mean, the red's good, and for operations, and black's good for income.
And then the only other item that we're changing would be insurance. And we had some additional expenditures on insurance that we incurred. And so we've bumped up the budget by about $5,000 for insurance to 70 from 65.
Do so I interpret this correctly then in restricted income? In the fourth column over from the left, we're going to put another, propose to put another $200,000 into apparatus reserve. Is that how we
do it? Right. And I just made that assumption. And sure. The board can, when we, you know, we've been doing that in the fall.
Yep.
And so the board might choose to place some of those monies into the building or in capital improvement. The operation over under was about $194,000, so I just assumed $200,000. Mm-hmm. Just okay. To make the budget work.
On your insurance, we budgeted 65, we're at 72.5.
Correct.
How come we only want to go to 70 and not enough to...
You know, after talking to Rosie, there were a couple of... there was some accounting that occurred that pushed from the previous fiscal year, pushed it into this fiscal year, so there was a little bit of doubling down that occurred.
Okay.
And so based on her projections, we should be on cycle now. And so we should be...
Fine at 70?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nick?
Well, the question here, my next question was, it says operation over under. Mm-hmm. It's a black number. I cannot find where the 194 came from. I'm looking at a good red $395,000 under budget with months yet to go. And then I'm looking over here at any of these other numbers, but suddenly there's a number that's operation over and under. Is this money that we're under budget, or is this money that we're over budget? And why is this number different than the 200,000 we put here?
So the number that's in the that cell, operation over under, if you take the 1,444,762.51, subtract the total operating expenses of $850,500 from that, that's how I arrived at the 194,262.51.
So these are actual expenses spent. This is what we're under. This is your actual number right now.
No, the fourth column is a projection. That's an estimate of fiscal 2020.
Oh, this is estimate of fiscal 2020.
Right, and so that's an estimate. I mean, so technically, I should say estimated operation over under. It would be probably more
estimated operation
over
under. It's under budget because it's a number we didn't spend. It's going to go into ours.
Huh? Correct.
Exactly.
Right. So I just rounded it to 200,000 on the section below that looks at restricted income. There's the first cell in that section. That part's fixed. That's off the amortization table that I gave you for the bond. Yeah. The $241,975 comes off that amortization table. It's
mortgage.
Right. And then the $2,500 is an estimate of the revenue, net revenue from the fire fund, and we view that as a restricted fund.
That's the firefighter's account.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then we haven't had anything for grants. We've just left that blank. And then I assumed that for budgeting purposes, I rounded it to 200,000, the 194 to 200, and put that in as a contribution to a proposed contribution next fall that would be made to the capital reserve fund. And that's not ironclad, obviously, and what the board chooses to do.
I guess I would prefer that you didn't round, just because that looks a little better, that you'd use this number here and call it amount underspent or under budget to carry forward, which is what that number is there, and you round it up to 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what you're doing, and I'm glad for it. I understand all that, but I would rather you... It was 194,262, which is going down here, not 200,000, because then it's a number that follows from up above here.
Sure, that could be done.
And so it would be, okay. Yeah. I see what you're doing, and I have no problem about that. I'm just trying to understand. As you know, this is a long battle for you, because I got two more years to hopefully one day learn how this is all working. So keep up the good work and keep helping teach me.
More board discussion.
Are you looking for anything tonight, Walt, or just our opinions on things?
I think this is purely discussion. That's the way we left it on the agenda. And so I guess if there is any direction that or concerns that the board or the public may have with regard to that budget, you know, I guess in my mind, if there aren't issues that need to be reconsidered or addressed in a further fashion, then I guess I'm going to be prepared to move forward in bringing this budget to the next board meeting for approval.
Okay. Is there any public comment on the board, on the budget, preliminary budget? Is there any staff comment? Looks pretty good to me. Really straightforward and great to have some money to throw in that dang apparatus fund.
Yeah, and I guess the one addition I do, and this, Jason, do you want to bring this up now, the dental, or would you like to have that discussion? What would you like to do with regard to the dental discussion?
We can have it now, whatever.
Is that reflected in your budget at all?
This is not reflected in the budget.
Do we have a...
Well,
no, there's no agenda.
Not on the agenda.
Do you want to, do you want to handle it in the chief's report?
We can.
Yeah, well, however, yeah, I mean, this could be obviously it's something that we can't make a decision on today,
right.
But the board should be aware of that moving into, it will be something that needs to be addressed.
Because it will be included, it has a budget impact.
It has a budget impact. It won't be a large budget impact.
Right.
But it will have a budget impact. And roughly, just to give you some preparatory
information. Let's just talk about it now, since we're already talking about it.
So essentially what we're looking at, you know, they kind of boilerplate this. If you look at page 4 of the proposal, and there are two quotes in there. One's for quote one, basically has an annual max of $1,000 expenditures for dental per enrollee, and the second quote is for a $1,500 max. And Jason, you've probably looked at this a little bit more than I have, but they boilerplate it out in the sense that we aren't paying for a family. You know, that wouldn't be a board expenditure. But now I don't know. It might be an option that an enrollee would choose to pay out of their own funds. Essentially what we'd be looking at is for quote one is $36.06 per month per enrollee. And then for quote two, it'd be $39.31 per enrollee per month. And so roughly what we're looking at in terms of budget impact, we'd be looking at about $400 and on three employees. So we're looking at a budget impact of roughly $1,200.
Would you say?
$120 a month. Right. Yeah, so about $1,400.
$1,400 a year.
Yeah.
Discussion on the dental plan?
Will it be an option for the employee if they want one or the other? Or?
Well, I guess that'd be...
No, we would have to decide.
Right. Choose one.
Okay.
Which one the district would choose.
And obviously, since it's not on the agenda, we probably should be decided, but it is something that we can consider.
Well, so Walt, I did not want to just arbitrarily put it in the budget without having some board discussion about it. And again, the history behind this is that at one point, the district used to pay for our health insurance benefits along with the dental policy, plus cover all our spouses and dependents. A few years back, they decided to not cover the spouses and dependents anymore and just cover the employee, but also took away the dental. And quite honestly, I never agreed with that. There's not another fire department in this county or the state that I know of that doesn't cover dental and as part of their health insurance benefit. I didn't think that was a very reasonable thing to do to the employees. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to give the board an opportunity to maybe put that back in. It's a pretty small cost. But again, it is just for the employee, not as we don't cover the family members.
Can I get a sense of the board of how you feel about just rolling this into the budget? And then we'll make a decision on that.
From my perspective, I think it's a reasonable request.
Other board discussion?
Sounds good to me.
Yep, I'm okay with it.
Public comment.
And the difference from 36 to 39, if you have a root canal or something major, the $1,500 compared to the $1,000 is nice to have for $4 extra.
Yeah, I didn't recall that history. Thank you for that. I think it's just part of smart employee retention plan for a very low cost. So,
yeah.
You got what you need, Walt, for next time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to be clear, too, this is just, it's pretty industry standard. I would say this is not, we're not asking for something extravagant here. This is.
You must have done something to tick off the last chair.
Well, it was just, there was some opinions on value and other things. And
all right, we won't rehash.
Yeah.
We won't rehash the hash. Okay, moving on to number four, discussion and decision on policies. Nick and I have met as a subcommittee of the board. We took a look at the public records request policy, which was reviewed by an outside attorney, and since neither of us went to law school, we thought it read very well and would just recommend that it is approved as written. We made absolutely no changes to it. Does anybody want a little history on this whole thing? Or you feel like you're...
Hey, you might just give a quick...
Just for the public here, obviously everything that we do is open to public inspection and transparency consistent with Montana statute and laws. And this public records request policy was really our effort to bring this policy into alignment with state statutes and protect the privacy of employees going forward. All that is governed by state law, so we had an outside attorney go over it, and you will see, as in stark contrast to all the other policies that we write, this was written by a lawyer, and she advised us that this is what we should have. And again, since neither Nick and I are graduates of law school, we present it to you as is.
And just for the public to know too, this does not preclude, any reasonable request for financial information, operations, basically what anything that might be have a privacy component to it, like somebody's social security number, whether they're making child support payments, something that's related to a personal issue, it would make it so that those pieces of data could be redacted or they'd be subject to interpretation as to whether or not they should be released or not.
It does that.
But basic financial information, all of that stuff, there would be no question as to, the law makes it clear that those we're obligated to provide those to the public.
It standardizes the request for, copying documents and the fees we can charge, and just brings it totally in line with best practices throughout the state. So, any more board discussion? Any public comment on the public retention policy? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that the public request policy be approved as presented.
I have a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, governance policy is the next thing. Nick and I met and had a really good conversation. Some members of the public even showed up, probably because you brought donuts. Very thoughtful of you.
Food worked really well on our situation.
And what we decided was we had a conversation about our governance policy, which you'll see before you here, and I gave Nick and the members of the public who attended that meeting, a little history on that. And we agreed we were really at a first principles kind of position. And the first question to ask is, would the board like to have a governance policy? We kicked that around a little bit and assumed yes, they would. And the second question is, what kind of governance policy would you like to have? And there's so many different ways to slice that cat. Nick and I just talked in generalities about what we might do. Steve White, former county commissioner, was there, was very helpful, as he usually is in these meetings. And after the meeting, he sent us a document that the county uses, which I've asked Lana to retain. And we left it that Nick and I would go back into the subcommittee and do some drafting to present to you all. The one thing that Nick and I both agreed on, as did Steve White, was that we could eliminate the executive limitations section of this policy and really change it from a way that when we were Sourdough Fire Department, we were trying to conduct our business as a board and manage the fire chief. And we had a really good conversation with Steve, who said, really what your board governance policy ought to do is speak to what the board does and let the public know what the purpose of having a board of directors is. So if you take a look at the mission statement, it's all about the fire department. Well, that's not the purpose of a board governance policy. The mission ought to be a statement of what the purpose of the board of directors is. So you can imagine, you know, the board of the Highlight Fire Department exists to provide fiduciary oversight and act in accordance with, because there's actually a part of Montana law where we are constituted, that sort of thing. So this is an old policy. I suspect it's probably close to 15 years old. And we thought rather than, go through it line item by line item, we could beat it up as a policy subcommittee and just keep pushing it along. But I think at this meeting, it would be interesting to hear what you guys think the purpose of a board governance policy ought to be. So with that, we'll just have discussion. Just so you know, Steve thought the board process was very helpful. He thought the limitations could go, and he thought the board-staff relations was very helpful.
So essentially, delete that whole section, no reference to state statute with regard to, because for governance, it's really not applicable, that reference state statute for the chief, or is there any...
Well, if we start at the beginning of the statement, maybe I'll just run through some of the comments, and Nick, you can chime in if I'm missing anything, but... The mission statement, as I just indicated, that's a fire department. That's a mission of the fire department. That's a really operational component that's probably reflected in our operations manual somewhere. But a governance policy ought to reflect what the purpose of the governing body is. And I thought Steve White made a really compelling case. The public should understand why you exist. What are you here to do? So you recraft that a little bit. Goals, again, these are operational goals of the department, so we probably end up striking that. The executive limitations, again, this gets into how we manage Jason's role. We have a whole separate process for that, mm-hmm. in terms of performance review and operation manual and all those kinds of things. Board process, Steve thought that was really important, because what we were trying to do is to set a tone for the culture that we want this board to have going forward when we're all not here. So people can look at this and say, okay, this is how this board operates. So, you know, the fortunate thing is we operate mostly like this all the time already, which is really, really good. And then the board staff relationships. How do you want to treat, you know, again, for new or future board members, how are we going to interact with our staff? What's the sort of delineations of the roles, all those sorts of things. So when we take this back to the subcommittee, you guys could send us electronically your thoughts. I would suggest this time rather than getting in there and redlining stuff, just like your sort of high level thinking on what the purpose of this document is, and then Nick and I will bring back a draft. We probably will get this done sometime in the summer, I would suspect, just given on the, and I don't think there's any rush to get it done.
Yeah, I guess based on what you guys suggest and what Steve suggested, it makes sense to me that putting it seems like they're. It doesn't really need to be included in this document, the executive limitations. Those should be laid out in the job description for mm-hmm. the
I think our conclusion was this, it says highlight rural fire district policy. It's really a board policy. It's not policy of staff. It's not necessarily policy of public. What we are is that in between staff and the fire. And so this seemed to be, we talked about it in the committee meeting, is that there, in fact, I first looked at it, it said it's all in laws and bylaws and other things that we really don't even need anything. And Steve and the point of some of these parts that Pete just mentioned caused me to reconsider and say, yeah, there is some need for a board thing.
So with the, in your mind then, when you're, so basically, if we were to delete the section, the executive limitations section, and then would the goal, would there still be a goal section, or would it totally disappear then?
What I will do is I will, maybe I'll ask Lana to send around the Gallatin County one pager, so you can take a look at that. They have both mission and they have long-term goals and short-term goals. Short-term goals are tied to calendar year budgets or fiscal year budgets, what they'd like to accomplish. And the long-term goals are more global statements, like to the extent practical, don't raise taxes, that kind of stuff. You know, BEA, employer of choice, all those kinds of things. So I think we could have a goals for sure, you know, and it might include, well, whatever. We'll just knock on that. And I think the framing up the, you know, the purpose of the board, the mission of the board, will sort of suggest what comes under it if you think about it in terms of a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to me that everything that's being said sounds like that makes a lot of sense.
So we'll just take that back and bring it to you when we got something reasonable. And Lana will send around that mission statement, and if you guys want to chip in 2 cents, we'll meet again here in the next few weeks or so and move forward.
For a plate of donuts.
For a plate of donuts. Exactly right. Okay. Signage for the building.
So that's me, Lana. We have, I'm getting bids from 4 companies, and I have information from 2 of those companies, waiting on 2 more. But we're basically putting flat cut aluminum letters on all 3 stations in terms of the having the highlight fire department name on all 3 stations. And I've got all the detailed information here if anybody wants to see it. But we have the 2 bids we have so far. The first one is from Sign Solutions. And using their high-end estimate for the installation, it's about $11,864 for the whole thing. Another bid from Signs of Montana, which is a minimum of $13,766 for all the work. And then I'm waiting for estimates from Beartooth Signs. We won't have the quote probably until Thursday or Friday. And then Johnson Metalworks. I'm waiting for a bid from them.
So it was brought up 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago or last month. I totally loved the thing on the side of the building, but I liked his idea of the marquee thing, that we could put letters in there. And so can we add one of those in either Cottonwood or Ray, or hear people driving by being able to say pancake breakfast or?
A kind of a digital style marquee, is that what you're thinking?
Either digital or just like Anderson School, that they change the letters. I mean, I don't know how much it costs, but.
Digital's gonna be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And we have a little trailer that we trundle around.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. So the idea behind the marquee, a digital display, is information to the public, not only about pancake breakfast, but about incidents, serious incidents,
yeah, right?
And you had mentioned the possibility of talking to one of the churches on 19th. Did they already have a marquee, or maybe locating a marquee there? What was the conversation?
Yeah, we had just talked about trying to find a more high traffic area than either Cottonwood or this station.
You know,
to put something
right. Like you know that. What I might do, Jason, because this is a good discussion. I would suggest the board consider separating this into two distinct items. So the signage on the building, in my mind, is, hello, taxpayers, this is your fire department, this is what we're called.
Yeah.
You're talking about, which really is an item that Nick is obviously very interested in,
yeah.
is interacting with the public. And you saw in my rationale for not including the sound system on here, my suggestion that we already have two events where we get a lot of people to, the Night with Santa and the Pancake Breakfast, and using those as anchors around which to engage the public more often. So if it's okay with you, can we separate the marquee into an agenda item that's about outreach to the public? And keep moving on the physical sign so we don't get bogged down on that. Mm-hmm. How's that sound to you guys?
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that's perfectly appropriate, because I think there's the location of the naming changing sign. I was trying to visualize, would we have 1, 2, 3, or 4? We have two hay bales over here on 19th. We have a 2x4 thing down at the Harn House. We have, I think we're on the corner where the roundabout is, we have something. But is there places that we might have 3 or 4 things that were easy to put up a message and that would look nice, that would have the name of our Highlight Rural Fire District, that advertises, oh, you're in this district, it's attractive and nice, and it'd be there and it'd not take a lot of time for it. Changes to go up, so we're going to have whatever the message is, and it doesn't cost much for an LED light and a little circular light and battery that on meeting night or the week before or something that could go on and with the battery and be a little
so if you're okay, let's I'm totally fine with that. Let's make an agenda item for the marquee or whatever.
I was just going to suggest that. Let's call it for the next agenda item, improving public engagement, and we can have some subheaders under there. One would be the acoustics in the meeting room, because I think in addition to speakers, we could use more sound, baffling kinds of things. And then we could do the marquee under... Yeah. Just do the marquee as another item, and then let's do the third as what we might do at these sort of standing events that we already have. Lana, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you got the Pancake Breakfast and the Night with Santa, and then back to this issue now, which is just putting signs on the physical space. Can when we get the bids back, will we get visuals of what they're proposing?
Yes. In fact, one of the companies said if I provide them some dimensions. For the photos that we already have, they could mock up photos with what it would look like.
Right.
Do those bids include the mounting of the sign?
Yes.
So are we doing lighted letters?
No, they would be
letters.
Just like
what is out here, the standoff aluminum letters.
Just like this.
Looks just like
except
that.
It would be highlight.
Okay. So I guess...
firing district.
I would suggest that at this point, since we wouldn't continue discussing what we want, but I guess before we have a real in-depth discussion and decision, I'd like to see the specs along with some mock-ups, and then actually get it in our packet before the meeting so we can actually digest it a little bit before the meeting.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And now just to be clear, we're talking... These are talking signs that attach to buildings, not signs that
correct.
Go on the road.
Correct. They would be like what we have now, except it would be highlight fire department, and then at Ray it would be centered over the bay doors, and at Cottonwood it would also be centered over the bay doors, and
so
also
what are
here.
The names again?
Pardon me?
What are the names? It's it's all one.
It would all be highlight fire department.
Right, but.
But with the different stations.
We don't have a fire department. We have a district.
Fire district.
The rural fire.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a question I ask is.
I think.
We all have the same name on the same building, except it's Cottonwood Station.
Correct.
Something.
We have HRFD, Cottonwood, HRFD, Bridge, HRFD, Cottonwood, whatever.
Yeah, and I guess are there, are, what is the proposed? I haven't seen the specs.
Proposed.
Yeah, the actual verbiage, the specs for the verbiage on each building.
That's what I was saying. So the proposal is on each of the three stations above the bay door, centered over the bay doors would be highlight fire department. And then on this building, we would have we would change the sourdough fire station that's out here, the sign that's already here, to highlight fire station. No, sourdough. No,
I think
sourdough.
We were going to leave this.
Oh, the, and
so
then I'm
just
sorry.
change the
logo. Yeah.
So
this station would be the only one that would have the name of the fire station, the sourdough fire station.
Because it already exists.
Because it's already here.
Okay, well, we can talk about this because
the historical
memory of the two districts, I think, is important. And if you have the, so again, in a hierarchy, you have the highlight fire department, we have the sourdough station, we have the Ray Cottonwood, or the Cottonwood station, and we have...
Ray.
What do we call it?
Ray.
Station.
The Ray station. You know, so they can, those names should live on, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. In eternity, they mean something to people who have lived here for a very long time.
Well, I think, actually, Chuck was maybe onto something in terms of, you know, cutting down, I don't know how, you know, lettering, obviously, the amount of lettering makes a big difference. But the, you know, HRFD, you know, Cottonwood Station, HRFD, Sourdough Station, HRFD, Ray Station.
I don't know that that would mean a lot. I don't think that that's going to speak to the name recognition that I think we're looking for. I think we want highlight fire in there. HRFD is not going to mean much to anybody.
So if we have highlight fire then, or highlight fire district, or whatever, if you need the district in there, and then Cottonwood Station, highlight fire district,
So then this one is saying sourdough right here. What if we, over the bay doors, people driving by, same thing, we put one over here that says highlight fire station.
Highlight fire district. That was the plan.
And so put one over here on over these bay doors. Put one over all the bay doors.
Right.
And we could, so this one already says sourdough. We can have one that says Ray and...
Because this one's more money, but I'm by me.
$11,000 doesn't seem like a lot to me for three places. But.
Let me also say at Cottonwood, there currently is a wood sign out in front that says Cottonwood Station, I believe. And the intent was we would leave that up.
That would have to be fixed. That does say in Ray.
I'm sorry. It's cut off here, but we would still say highlight fire department or district above the doors.
And I mean, we could always have a large display that says highlight fire department and then slightly smaller letters underneath it say Cottonwood Station, Ray Station.
I mean, in Bozeman Station 1, 2, 3, whatever. And they label them.
Yeah.
Seems like that would make sense.
Zero
just to
imagination,
have,
for Christ's sake.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, but I
come on.
I guess the request that I would like to see is that we know what the specs are, what's being bid out, so that if there are some, you know, if the board would like to have input on the specs, or you know, I'd like to see the specs.
Okay.
We don't even know the specs. The size of the letter, what the lettering is.
So I was given the spec, so I will send this out to you guys tomorrow. So this has the specs in it.
I mean, is it the more letters, the more cost?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
and the bigger.
Department would shrink down to DEPT. Yes?
Good.
DEPT.
I mean,
yep.
Or it could just be highlight fire.
Both of them know what DEPT means.
All right. So, again, these guys need some more direction or we'll be chasing our tails around for a long time on this kind of thing. So it seems like to me, again, the purpose of this is we have a new district now that's a year or so old. And naming it, calling it by its proper name is the right thing to do for public output, outreach, and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So there's obviously a cost associated with letters. My feeling is, at a high level, we want to do something that's durable, essentially zero maintenance, and looks good. And I don't want to call stations 1, 2, and 3. My goodness, we can do better than that.
Oh, we've got a good name.
Right? So can we call it Highlight Fire? Does anybody have any heartburn with just Highlight Fire?
And then just putting...
And then the station name
underneath. Yeah. And it can be smaller font for the station names.
Yeah.
And bigger font for Highlight Fire.
Right.
Yeah,
so is that what you want then? Highlight Fire, or do you,
yeah, Highlight
that,
Fire.
Is that it? Okay. No that department.
That's what we're talking about. I see a neck hanging.
So. And then Cotton Station,
Ray Station,
Sourdough Station.
Yeah, and you know that I can't. Even, does this say Sourdough Fire Department out here or Sourdough Fire
Station?
Yeah, station. So we've already got
this exists.
Here.
That's what I was saying. This exists. We're only talking about two of the buildings that we'd have to
do. So, and this one says Sourdough Fire Station.
Perfect.
Yeah. Right.
So the other ones, you don't want to have fire in this. You just want Cottonwood Station and Ray Station?
I think that would be sufficient if you have the fire, if you have Highlight Fire above it. I mean, it's redundant to include it again.
The Department of Redundancy Department?
Yeah, exactly.
And we can use this maybe as a model for what we'd like. This signage is very nice out
that's
here.
Perfect. What we've specified.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do the same sort of font size and whatever.
Yes.
Do we know who did this one?
No.
Okay. I'm just curious who did this one.
No, we tried to
do it. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah.
My concern is that we have an entity, and we always call it HRFD. Really Highlight Rural Fire District. Is that true? We're not Highlight Rural Fire Department. Our trucks, for saving numbers and letters, are Highlight Fire something, because he left off rural, because I think it was less letters on the truck. But I guess what I'm thinking of is consistency. Do we change our stationery? We're really advertising who we are, and we're really legally Highlight Rural Fire District. Now we might do Highlight Rural Fire, and that brands us as it. And I think there's some people out here, we are still fairly rural. Now maybe that is against the sensibilities of the fire volunteers and so on, that they feel department is a more uptown, city-fied deal. I don't know where the department part comes from. I see that sign is a typical fire deal, they call it department. That's probably used in cities. But help me understand why we want to add department. I know DEPT is small in letters, but that isn't, we don't have a department here.
Well, we're not talking about adding department. We're talking about just calling it Highlight Fire on the...
Why not Highlight Rural Fire?
Because, well, here's my thinking on it. This is just my opinion. We've always tried to operate looking forward into the future. And we will not be a rural area in some number of years, maybe decades. And that will just be a census designation. So we don't have to, we can do business that has lots of different entities. That happens all the time in business. The trucks say Highlight Fire.
Department.
Highlight Fire Department. We're obviously going to be the Highlight Rural Fire District in all our business material and all that kind of thing. But I think here we can go with Highlight Fire. It's consistent. It's shorter. It saves everybody a little bit of money. And just seems to me to be to work really well.
Well, I think it's a question that if we want to look at current examples, school tried to name their school, and they got into a well big bunch of trouble. And I would think we might want to enlist, if we could, what the public would really like to be. I can understand what you're saying, AKA thing, but what would people call us besides?
You're going to get a bunch of names.
Hmm?
You let the public in.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is there, it's got to be in those combinations, but...
Well, look, when we were Sourdough Fire, we called ourselves Sourdough Fire. How are we dispatched?
Sourdough Fire Department.
Sourdough Fire Department.
And all of our trucks said Sourdough Fire Department.
Nobody said Sourdough Rural
Fire. And so that answers your question, Nick. And this is not the first time I've been involved in this discussion. When I first got hired onto the Big Sky Fire Department, our legal name was the Gallatin Canyon Consolidated Rural Fire District. Everybody knew us as Big Sky Fire Department. The board went and legally changed their name to the Big Sky Fire Department because that's what everybody called us. The reason our trucks say Highlight Fire Department is that's what everybody calls us. I mean, that's if you and I took a walk into Bozeman and we went into the Bozeman Fire Department, I walked up to anybody and said, hey, where do I work? They'd say, Highlight Fire Department. That's just how everybody knows us. And district means nothing to anybody. Fire department means something to somebody because it's such a common name out there. And I know our name is technically the Highlight Rural Fire District, but to the average citizen, they see us as a fire department. That's why.
I understand that. I guess what I'm bringing this up for is we better know exactly what we want for the name and be happy that everybody on the majority has the name. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I'd like to see at least Highlight Rural Fire. If I had an economy of letters, Highlight Rural Fire.
The only thing I would say, Nick, is a caution to that is there's districts that exist that cover a small town, like Manhattan's an example. There's a Manhattan, technically city fire department, and then there's a Manhattan rural fire district. So even in Gallatin County, you can run into confusion if our trucks and, you know, everything we says Highlight Fire Department, as Jason referenced, that's just what people know. And then we put a different name on our stations. And that I could see that even causing bigger confusion in the district.
I'd rather spend the money on spelling department out instead of putting rural in there. I'd rather say high fire department instead of doing anything with rural. Just my opinion.
So to economize on the expenditure, though, does it work from staff standpoint to be Highlight Fire without having rural or having department in?
No, I would. Again, and it's not because I like one better than the other, but I think if everybody calls us the Highlight Fire Department, that's what makes sense to put on the building.
But it does Highlight Fire to economize and drop the department.
I'm not sure that this is a place to economize. As Pete said, that we're selling our brand, so I'm not sure that...
That's the question I'm asking. So you're saying that we should drop that. Is what you're saying.
Drop what?
We should not drop the department.
No, I think it should say Highlight Fire Department.
Well, if we're really talking...
But that's just my opinion. I'm just
going to be...
Well, that's what we pay you for, to have an opinion, for crying out loud.
That's what I'm asking, was your opinion.
Fire District is what we are, unless we want to change it. And that's one time, one big thing. Then what we do on the trucks and what we do on the telephone and how people know us. But at least anybody that comes down as they see what we really are as our entity. I don't know, maybe I'm just...
You're just old-fashioned? Is that what you're going to say? All right. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, except when I'm putting words in your mouth.
Go one more old-fashioned.
I've always thought over in Missoula, it was so dang confusing to have Missoula Rural Fire, and I was just over there this weekend, they have a full-page ad going out for a mill levy or something. And Missoula Rural Fire, it's confusing. They should have a different name. Because you get the Missoula Fire Department.
Yeah. Sourdough Rural Fires. Anyway.
Okay, do we have enough direction coming forward?
No.
So
just because I have to go back out and
yeah, if we're gonna get bids, we gotta know.
Highlight Fire
Department.
Spelled out.
But I think it can be DEPT.
With a period behind it.
Period. Done.
Not semicolon.
But for three extra characters to have it done right, I think we should do it right.
Can we figure out the cost per character in our quote? That would be nice.
Okay.
So let's do this. Let's have a motion
to get price quotes for the Highlight Fire Department.
Spelled out.
Spelled out. And then also, would you just figure out what it costs per letter? That way we can have an intelligent conversation about how much money we might save.
And put each individual station
in. Right. But we'd have Sourdough Fire Station here, which is already here.
So you don't have to.
We have to change the logo.
Right.
Cottonwood Station, yep. And Ray Station.
Right. Yes.
Without the fire on those.
Right.
And we want smaller letters.
Smaller
stations.
Except for this, with the exception of this one that's already.
But it exists. We're right. Talking about, yep. We're talking right. About the other two.
The other ones.
Yes. Yep. Slightly smaller letters.
Okay. Well, now, what fits? So,
hang on a second. There's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? This is your chance, Nick. All right. So we're going to get the quotes for the Highlight Fire Department.
Any public comment?
Sorry. Public comment. Public comment?
All I can say first is, I don't know how I need the rural. It's not going to be a rural another 10 years.
Okay, we good with that?
Yep, good.
Everybody good with that? So next meeting we'll have lots more information. Okay, discussion and decision of publicizing the annual May meeting. Nick, do you want to speak to this?
Sure. I think the annual May meeting, by the bylaws, has a somewhat set agenda. That doesn't mean we can't add to it, but that's where the chair gets to do a state of the union report. That's where we seat new board members. That's where we elect new officers, I guess, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking that is the meeting where we would discuss, because of the state of the union, where we're going, where we've been, that the public, adult public, I know we get lots of people at the picnic and the kids and lots of the others, and I think I'm welcoming all that. I think that's all good, but if we can target this May meeting, this is taxpayer owner meeting. And so we could try to do things to publicize it. One of the things was just to have our hay bales and some signs go up out there, annual meeting. I think we would, in the paper, say something that we are going to have what I'd like to see is a christening. I think we have spent $600,000 of their money and plus another whatever for the truck. We should have them out there and people could come and ooh and ah, see the new truck and see why it was designed, what it is, and how it's going to work for us. And I think we ought to have a cake and coffee, and the cake probably looks like a fire truck. And I think we work toward reaching out to the public and encouraging, and I know it's an uphill battle. I've been told by just about everybody that nobody comes to meetings and so on and so forth, but I think we've got to continue to try, and we could at least get one, the annual meeting, the one that has all of this kind of stuff with it, that this would be a way to reach out to that group of people that might be interested. Now we may end up with a cake as big as this table and nobody eating it or whatever, but we have firemen that will take care of it. What's ever left over from the goodies. But so that would be my, if I were a dictator, that would be what I would ask.
Board discussion.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Let people know, advertise it's our annual meeting, they want to come out and cake or donuts or whatever.
So what's the level of advertising?
Costco.
I think what? Chocolate.
Get one of each, half sheet.
Well,
what's the level of advertising that would be proposed for this? I mean, the cake and that kind of stuff wouldn't be that large of an expenditure, but advertising.
Well, I was thinking of the cake that was in the image of the cathedral at Notre Dame
with the flame.
Is that too soon?
Flying buttresses. Yeah,
maybe a little too soon.
I think the advertising piece that we do with the banners for our other big events, why can't we use the banners for this important event? Why can't we put a few dollars on the banners and say annual event, or new signs that we're going to develop later, we can put annual meeting on the little thing up there, but for this time, have a set of banners. Let's see what, see if that helps.
What is the cost of putting the banners up for typically?
So I don't know what a new banner costs offhand. I know that, you know, normally we just change the date on the banners that already exist, which costs, oh, I don't know, $100 maybe? Does it cost that? I think it's $100 or a couple, maybe $200 to change all the dates on the banners. So to produce some new banners, I mean, they're not cheap.
It depends on how fancy you want to get, too. I mean, if you just want letters on it, I mean, just to do a 12 by 8 foot or whatever size banners, I mean, they're not cheap. I mean, they're pretty expensive, but if you start putting graphics and stuff on that kind of stuff on it, the cost really shoots up.
So I guess the promotional, if we're going to look at this as a, and I'm not discounting my desire to see public come, but I guess I do want to be careful at what level of expense you know, we incur to pursue that goal. And I'm all for trying to do something, but you know, maybe we should come up with a budget that we're going to say, well, we're willing to spend this much to attempt to do that, and what are the things that we can do to get the most bang for our buck to try and achieve that objective. Maybe, you know, that might be an approach too, and see what our options would be. But I don't want it to, I guess from my perspective, I'm a little concerned about leaving it open-ended and ending up spending $4,000 or $5,000 to try and promote, you know, our annual meeting. I guess I'm a little reluctant to go down that road.
Maybe we put it on the web page, we do the normal thing, but we get a bigger ad in the Chronicle, and we try it this year as it being our first one without going crazy with banners.
I mean, we could even do something in between. We could get one banner, put it on 19th on Dave's hay bales, or straw bales, and try one banner that's going to get the maximum traffic on 19th, yeah. And see how that does. And
one of the other spots, a good spot, would be Town Pump at Cottonwood and Huffine. They usually let us put a sign up. Would that be better than the hay bales?
Yeah, I think 19th is pretty pretty high traffic. Okay. I think we're going to get our biggest bang for the buck on 19th.
Okay.
Again, the cake, you know, that's probably an inconsequential cost to do something like that.
Yeah. So,
I know, I'd say let's just throw a budget number.
Spend a couple $100 on a sign, cake and coffee, $500.
That sounds like a motion to me, boys. Is there a second?
That's your motion, Justin?
Yep.
All right, I'll
I can make it better if you
want to. I'll support you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Or I guess
public comment. What kind of cake do you want, sir?
My advice would be have a few donuts.
Okay, we'll give her a try.
That kind of cake can get pretty pricey, I know that.
Well, it's the champagne on the truck. Maybe you won't let us hit the bottle of champagne. Well, we can't do that. I have an alcohol bottle.
That's right.
All right.
But is it? Would it be possible? Is it a reasonable thing to have a new truck out there and use that as something to say, hey, public, you just bought us. You know, here's this nice new truck. Come meet the new truck, and here's what it does. And here's the neat things about it. That's what I'd like to see as a centerpiece.
Definitely for my chief's report.
Tour the station, no question.
Hey, a little bit sidebar, but just talking about the State of the Union kind of thing. I haven't been to one of our burger things early enough, but do we do any kind of like gathering or someone talking or anything?
No, we tried that the first year, and because people come and go so much over that 3-hour period, that if you didn't say anything, you'd be speaking to 10 or 15% of the people that show up. So
I wonder if we put a big TV outside or a projector or something to have slides that rotate.
Let's hold this for the for the next agenda item where it fits.
Yeah.
Because we could do all sorts of stuff.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, Mr. Chief.
No, actually this one.
Oh, policies and review.
So just very quickly, there are some policies that are ready for policy subcommittee, job descriptions for the chief, assistant chief, maintenance captain, and very shortly will be the volunteer handbook, the resident handbook and agreement, and the resident renter handbook and agreement. So I can get those to the policy subcommittee in the next few days.
Perfect.
Okay.
Your policy subcommittee stands ready.
Okay.
To subcommittee. Right?
Well, I hope so. It's looking like I'm getting less ready. There's more work. Good. We get it.
Okay. Any discussion on policies for review?
Keep them coming.
Any public comment? Moving right along.
Okay. So I guess I'll focus on the big things happening. So Command 6-2, our new Dodge command vehicle, has been striped and finished. And at this point, we're just waiting for Alan Harper to switch the light bar and radios from the old Command 6-2 into it. And none too soon, because last week, Brian was driving the old Command 6-2 and came out from being inside of a building. And when he was walking towards the old Command 6-2, all the lights started flashing and the starter was cranking over. Just all by itself.
That's what happens when you have a remote start.
The keys are in my pocket. I walk up to it and it's just sitting
there.
And
it doesn't have auto start.
So this is not operator error.
No, no. So we took it to B&L and it did it inside their shop. And it was possessed. Crazy.
So what did
demons.
They determine the problem to be?
Well, they replaced a couple of ignition switches and stuff, but basically the fuse box in it is excessively corroded, and they cleaned it as much as possible. But the fuse box is obsolete due to the age of the vehicle, and next to going to a junkyard and hoping to find that year of expedition and ripping it out. You can't get a new fuse box for that vehicle, so they basically said you may want to consider very soon a new vehicle.
So, but they got it to the point where it's still functional, but
they think
could,
so.
No they guarantees. Said
that, no, okay, they got it cleaned up as good as they could.
Yeah. Alan is coming on the 26th of this month to do that work. It's typically it's where we always end up waiting is getting those radios and lights put in. Otherwise, it's ready to go. So we had two Saturdays ago, we had a catastrophic flood here of biblical proportion. I just happened to come in here on a Saturday, and I was here for an hour, and when I went to leave, I could see water flowing at a rapid rate from the south across our parking lot, and our whole parking lot was flooded, and then it was trying to flow through what is a ditch over to the back of our building to our holding ponds, but everything was flooded. Our fire vault was flooded. Our whole septic system got flooded. So I called Dave Kraft and he brought his tractor over and we did some varsity level snow pile. What ended up happening is the fields out here, and they're associated with a last name. I think it's Schrager. So the fields over here started to melt out, and I think the culvert under Patterson was frozen up, and it just popped loose. And normally that water would flow nicely to the west of our building, but we had so much late season snow that the mini warehouse unit here, they plowed so much snow and brought in a front loader and piled it up that it re-diverted the water. And it actually flooded some of their storage units as well. And it just couldn't make it to the borrow pit behind the old building and instead found lower ground and came this way. So we got it all draining. But one of the byproducts of that is that we got so much groundwater over here that it's basically pouring into our first septic tank. And it's working its way through the system. And of course, our drain field's saturated, so it's got nowhere to go.
So we did bring out a septic company to look at it, and they said, tough, you know what, in all ironic terms. And so we had to uncap the ends of the drain field pipes, the clean outs, and just let it flow.
You guys,
we had to do a lot. It was like the Tennessee Valley Authority right. back here. There's a lot.
You applied to the EPA and the DEQ for the appropriate permits.
All of the appropriate permits.
Dave Kraft, I'm sure, was first in line to get those permits.
He was.
Yeah. Good.
He was.
Good.
But we did create enough drainage to get it to go around, and it is getting better as we speak. There's less water. However, we may have to consider on this first septic tank, digging it up, this not the whole tank, but pulling the collar off and resealing it, because we were getting 20 to 30 gallons a minute leaking, you know, between the collar and where it attaches to the tank underground. And a little bit of seepage is one thing, but that was excessive. And so we'll probably have to fix that and then maybe do a little bit of dirt berman over here so that next year that water can't, that flow can't be diverted.
Well, and this was kind of a unique situation too. We were not likely to get too many years similar to this. Statistically speaking.
Yeah, but we should create the right drainage so that that doesn't happen again. And Jason Trotter was excellent. He came over and was out there helping us dig everything out, and only out of a sense of duty, you know. It's not his fault that the fields had a lot of snow in them. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. But bottom line, we aren't sustaining any property damage in the building or anything.
No. Luckily, you know, we have some trash pumps, and we were pumping water for a couple days. And,
Keep us posted on what you need to do to...
I will.
Fortify our defenses against this sort of thing.
Yep. Even more good news. So I think I updated you guys about issues with our new rescue apparatus. For those who don't know, we realized that once ladened with 1,000 gallons of water, the drive shaft was rubbing against one of the cross members of the frame.
That's the brand new machine?
What's that?
That's the new machine?
That's the brand new one.
They don't test the water?
We don't know what happened with
now, that. This was not operator error.
No, this was assembler error. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They don't test it under load, I guess.
I don't think they obviously didn't drive it when it had water in it. They obviously put water in it, pumped, and then emptied it and didn't drive it. But what happened is we drove it, it melted a brake line because of the heat generated from the drive shaft rubbing against the cross member. So
was a call made to them?
So
they called me to come in and fix that.
Yeah, we called Dave Kraft. He brought his tractor over.
He lifted it up.
Some baling water.
Took out his little pliers.
His Leatherman. So we called Pierce. They said, we messed up. It was supposed to be an arched cross member, not a flat one. We'll send the parts out. Our guy will fix it. Great. So their guy that fixes it is a guy named Sean. He's a retired mechanic for the Missoula Fire Department. He's a great guy. Super, super good apparatus mechanic. He comes out last week to fix it. He's out there for maybe 30 minutes, and he comes in. He goes, something's not right. I said, well, I know something's not right, Sean. That's why you're here. He's like, no, more than that. He's like, I don't like the orient. He's like, it's almost as though our compression is too compressed sitting there. And so he calls Pierce, has all the schematics. Long story short, they were supposed to put two spacers in each shackle for the leaf springs, and they forgot.
Monday assembly.
So two assembly problems. So they're sending the spacers out. They asked us who we wanted to do that work, and we said Best Rate, where we have all of our work done. They said, that's great. I requested that Sean, their mechanic, be present during the entire repair to make sure it's done to Pierce's spec. And then I have a conference call with Pierce on Thursday to discuss other forms of remedy that I'm going to request.
Perfect.
So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Better now than later.
So as long as the truck doesn't move, the public can enjoy it.
I didn't say you had to drive the truck.
It's holding the bay floor down.
You can only put 500 gallons in.
We have all that hydrostatic pressure from the water underneath, so it's got to hold that floor down.
The lights will work if we turn them on, right?
Okay. And it's super clean because it hasn't moved. Right. Get eat off of it.
That's why we're served cake, then.
Although, when is it going into repair?
Don't know. I haven't heard that yet.
Just before we move on, are there any board comments about this?
So, when is the in-service time then expected to be now?
Well, they're setting up appointments with Best Rate. I haven't heard back exactly what day they're going to do it, but it's hopefully in the next week they'll be doing that.
So will Best Rate be installing the cross member too?
Yes, they're going to do both.
They're going to do both things.
Yep. And again, Sean's going to be there watching the entire time.
So is there
at Pearson's expense?
Are there any other concerns about other fabrication or assembly protocols being missed on that machine?
No. So, I mean, basically, the purpose of my conference call with Pierce is to ensure that, you know, because their frame, the actual frame of the truck has a lifetime warranty. And, you know, I want documentation that they will still have a lifetime warranty on the frame, even though they had a third party do this repair/modification work. And then the truck comes with a one-year bumper-to-bumper warranty, and I'm going to ask for an additional 2 years on top of that due to my uncomfortable status with their workmanship at this point.
Good.
Perfect. Three-year bumper-to-bumper. That's
nice. Yeah. I wrote a very, very serious letter to them. I think I called them poop heads. we did get a rezoning notice from the county about some of the land owned by the school back here. I believe they want to use some of it for residential. I doubt that the board has any true feelings on that. It doesn't affect us in any way. But they just have to give those notices out. If we rezone something, they send notices to our neighbors as well.
So that's not in the city limit, is it?
No.
Is it soon to be in the city limit?
Don't know. Looking where it is, I'm not sure. It's contiguous with the city.
They'd have to do some annexing.
Yeah, to get so.
All right, on we go. What else you got?
That's it. That's the big stuff.
Any board discussion? Any public comment on the chief's report? Trustee announcements or activities?
I'm going to be out of town for a few weeks, so I'm going to need a trustee to sign checks probably at least at the minimum this cycle coming up on Friday, and probably the cycle 2 weeks after that.
I'm available every day, anytime you ever want to come see me.
Probably usually available on Fridays too. So.
Yeah, so I think if you want to, do you want to coordinate with whoever wants to do that?
And what did Nick say?
Nick said he's available.
Okay, I'll coordinate.
And Justin. Yeah.
I'm not available the 26th, if that's what I'm.
So I can tell you the dates. It'd be this Friday and the Friday 2 weeks after that, so that would be the 10th.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah.
But yeah, the 10th.
I can sign as well on Fridays.
And then the 24th, I should be back by the 24th of May, but
10th may not work.
So just those two, the 19th and the 10th, and then you'll let me know if somebody is needed for the 24th.
Sure. Yeah, we could be in communication. And yeah, so we'll have to. I'm hoping to make it back in time for that. No. Helping the in-laws farm.
How's the 21st look for our next meeting for everybody?
Yeah. 21st, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Third Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All good?
Should be good.
Anything else?
Will we have the financial dashboard tuned up for the next meeting, Walt, do you think?
You know, I don't know that I'm going to have a chance to do that because I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So I don't know that I'll have that done.
All right.
You know, we're not that far away, really, from you know, the information there. I'll see. Maybe I could do that in a phone conversation with Rosie or something.
Only if it's easy. No worries. All right, thanks, guys. See you next month. Meeting is adjourned.